Anybody would like a copy of God's Word? God's written Word, that is. The Bible, New Testament of the Bible, offered to you freely. God's instruction manual, how that sinners can be reconciled to Him. Given, of course, to us in His love and grace, in order that men and women might not be left in the darkness, fumbling about in the world, not knowing why they're here, or what their purpose is, and of course, more importantly, what it is that God requires of them. In order, of course, that they might be rescued from their departure from God, the evidence of which, of course, is writ large over your world, your nation, and I dare say your own lives, the sinful practice. What is it essentially God requires of you? Repentance, turning from your wayward ways, and of course in faith embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. This is God's own record and testimony concerning His Son, sent in love and with grace to rescue, save the perishing from their sins. You'd like a copy of God's Word, feel free, come and ask for one, gladly place into your hands. Of course, that people have a knowledge of God is, that's without question. We won't spend too much time on that, because as God's Word says, everybody knows that God is. There's no such a thing as an atheist. Such does not exist. Everybody knows that God is. Evidence you do not need. Proof you do not need. You already have that. What you require, of course, is a yielding, a surrendering to the God you know exists. That, of course, is known by, well, you have an innate knowledge within you that you can't get rid of, no matter how much you try, and you do try, no matter all the efforts in the world and all the ingenuities of men, their philosophies and false science and false religion will not erase that. We'll know that God is. And of course, by all the things that God has made, the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that you are without excuse. So away with the smoke screens and the false arguments, and let's get to the root of the matter, sin, because that's the reason why men and women go about calling themselves, labeling themselves, foolishly, says God, atheists. Simply because they don't want there to be a God, and they don't want to find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. Don't want to, because, well, you know that you're in trouble with Him because of your sinful state and condition. But of course, there is a widespread throughout the world, I would say, and of course, well, your nation today, a lack of awareness, consciousness, you know, of your sin. And your need, of course, of being repaired, your need of being healed, your need of being reconciled to God. But then, of course, you have your conscience within you, you know, that testifies, agrees with me. your conscience is God's agent, his sheriff within you, you know, and he comes to arrest you, he comes to convict you of the crimes that you commit against God. You know what the word conscience means, don't you? Con is with, and science is knowledge. Con, science, conscience, that is with knowledge. You have a knowledge of right and wrong, says God. When you do right, your conscience pats you on the head, well done. When you do wrong, your conscience stabs you in the heart, accuses you, convicts you of your wrongdoing. But of course, what you do with that conscience is, well, so very important, because some people, most people, I would say, just simply harden themselves, you know? They deal with that guilty conscience in a wrong way. Some try to obliterate it with alcohol or drugs. Some people just simply dismiss it and become so hardened. Some people, they become so hardened that they no longer have any sense of what's right or wrong. Beyond the pale, you might say, or you might think, at least anyway. So what to do with a guilty conscience? Well, you need to bring it to Jesus. You need to bring it to the Son of God, who came into the world to rescue and to save sinners from that guilt, from that sin, from your wrongdoing, your crimes against God. Be assured, as God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then in order to heap a greater degree of consciousness within you, you know, concerning your sin, concerning your wrongdoing, you know, and to, well, inform you, educate you, you know, that the wrongdoing is not just against yourself and your fellow man, but it's against God. It's against God that you have sinned. Ultimately, it's Him that you have offended, and Him, of course, whom you will answer to in that day. And, of course, He is the God who sees, you know, everything. There is no creature, says the Bible, that is not manifest in His sight. And of course, well, everything is naked and open to the eyes of Him, says the Bible, with whom we have to do. Today you say, I would not have to do with God, but that day will come when you will have to, like it or not, believe it or not. That day is coming when you'll stand before Him and give account. But I would rather, 'tis my prayer, my hope, my desire, at least, you know, as a Christian and as the minister of the gospel, that that you would come to a very real consciousness of your sin and who it is that you've sinned against, in order that you may be brought by the grace of God, that is, to Jesus Christ, in order that you might be forgiven, in order that your conscience might be cleared, in order that your guilt might be removed, and in order that you might have that firm and deep assurance of the love, of the grace, of the forgiveness of God, and eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that's the end of God's law. You know that men and women, guilty, pronounced, declared to be guilty before God, that they come with that guilt to Jesus Christ and be forgiven. Forgive us. That's the essence, don't you know? That's the very heart of the gospel, that there is forgiveness with God, that He may be feared, that instead of living in the fear of man, you live in the fear of God. That instead of living in the fear of eternal condemnation, that you might know, understand that there is, therefore now, no condemnation to those that is, who are in, trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If I command to you, in order that you might be, that you might know, that you might experience, that you might come to a knowledge of that forgiveness of God, that He has so graciously, simply and only, out of a heart of loving kindness and grace, has provided for men and women a way back to God, a righteousness. Yours and mine is like filthy rags, says God, in His sight. But there is another righteousness, that is the righteousness of God, which He has produced and provided, and it's in His Son, Jesus Christ. The only place and the only way by which a man can be found right with God, justified before God. Faith, that is, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The good news, the glad tidings, the hope of salvation and of forgiveness. And first and foremost, before God can heal you, before God can reconcile you, your sin has to be dealt with. And before your sin can be dealt with, well, you have to come to a consciousness of it, a very real consciousness of it. And that's the purpose, you see, of God's law, His commandments, given as a schoolmaster to educate and to instruct you as to the manner of sinner it is that you are and how offensive you are to God. And to answer your question as to why God should be angry with the wicked every day. Because we are all in that unbelief. All in our sin, under sin. And therefore, of course, God's displeasure upon each and every one of us. So it's by the law, you see, that comes the knowledge of sin. Then, of course, well, coming to the very last of God's commandments, there's 10 of them, don't you know? And the very last one says, thou shalt not covet. And here the apostle, he says, well, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Coveting, you see, is that lust. That lust after the opposite sex. That lust after somebody else's spouse. That lust after what, well, God is not that desire after what God has not provided for you. Thou shalt not covet, you see. It's a sin. It's a sin against God, against the Almighty, against the Lord God Almighty, against the Judge of all the earth. But the one, of course, who would save you, bring you to a knowledge, as the apostle says, I had not known sin but by the law. How could anyone come to a knowledge of sin without God's law? We're not talking about the law of the state. We're not talking about the laws of Parliament. We're not talking about the laws of the European Union. We're not talking about international law. We're talking about a higher law, greater. We're talking about the law of God, the Almighty. That law which is a binding, religious or otherwise, and whatever your religion might be, that law that is binding upon every man, woman and child born into this world. And we're all breakers, transgressors of it. That's what sin is, friends. Transgression of the law, of the law of God. But you would not know, as the apostle says, I would not have known what sin was but for the law of God. So when God says, thou shalt not covet, any inclination within you, not just the outward act, any inclination within you towards that which is contrary to anything that God has commanded, right from the number one all the way through to number 10. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, or any other means illegal. Thou shalt not kill. And of course, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So any inclination at all, you see, within you, towards that which is contrary, that's what it means to be ungodly. Is that, you know, it's to be contrary in your mind, in your inclinations, and in your actions to God and anything of God, God Himself, or anything that He has spoken. God, you see, has spoken in holiness. Everything that He speaks is holy, does is holy. Even His anger against you is a holy anger, righteous. Altogether, not like you, not like I, ungodly, unrighteous, contrary to God in your very nature, and contrary to God in your practice, but even the inclination within you. You know, even as you pass by and you hear God's name, you hear His Son proclaimed amongst you and His salvation, what is the inclination in your heart, in your mind? Is it contrary to anything that God has commanded, any one of His commandments? Well, then you are contrary, you are in breach of this, the very last of God's commandments. Thou shalt not covet. But given, you see, to bring you to a consciousness, an awareness, that you might know, as the apostle here, he says, I would not have known sin but by the law. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. Here you are, you go about God's world thinking you're okay, you're a nice person, you're a good person, you're respectable and all the rest of it. How could anyone possibly have anything against you? Well, God has something against you. You have sinned and come short of His glory. You without righteousness, you are ungodly to a man, to a woman. That's how you come into the world. You are conceived, that's at the moment of conception in your mother's womb. That's where your sin career began. And then, 9 months later, you were born in that sin nature. And you live in it all your days. But for the grace of God intervening, by my gospel that I preach to you, that you might be brought to be born again. That you might have a new nature given to you by God. Reborn. Made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Made altogether new. So that you can say with the apostle, behold, all things have become new. A new nature given to you that loves God. No longer inclined towards that which is wicked, sinful, contrary to God's commandments. But in agreeance with God. For the first time in your life, in your existence. But until then you remain as you were conceived, as you were born. And as you live now in sin, under sin, captivated by it. And inclined to all manner to hate God and to hate your neighbor. That's sin, my friends. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. And then, of course, you know, at all times, you know, hating sin in your hearts, that's what's required of the commandment. The 10th one, I mean, thou shalt not covet. What you should be doing is, rather than being inclined to sin, rather than being inclined to that which is contrary to God's commandments, you should be inclined the other way. You should be inclined to hate sin. But here's the problem, isn't it? You love your sin. We love our sin, wallow in it. You know, it's like your world that you live in. It's like a great big swamp, you know, full of all the garbage and filth of man's sin. And men and women swim about in it. The gospel preacher comes, lifts up his voice, tells them to get out of the swamp because it's dangerous. But people just, what do? Stick their fingers in their ears, dive back into the swamp because they delight, they love their sin. And they delight in their sin. They delight in it, you know?
What are you saying, boss?
Huh?
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you're a sinner, young man. And you need to repent and believe the gospel, because just like all other men, conceived in sin, born in sin, living in covetousness all their days. And the only way, the only way out is the way of repentance and faith towards the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. So, dear friends, here's the problem. You love your sin, inclined to that which is contrary to God, inclined to that which God hates. But you should be the other way. You should be firing in the opposite direction, hating all sin with every fiber of your being, and especially your own. But who can bring you to that place? Not I. I just be a preacher. Not the law of God, not Mr. Moses. He can't do that. The law came by Moses, the Bible says. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's He alone. He who brings the truth to men and women about themselves and about God and about their lawlessness, their law breaking. He who brought grace with them in order that they might be saved by grace, not by the law. And brought to that place, transformed in their hearts and their very natures, so that they go about hating all sin, especially their own. Agreeing with God, being angry with the wicked every day. Show me a man who's not angry with wickedness, and I'll show you a man who's not a man at all. That's a trait of ungodliness, not to hate wickedness. Only the wicked love wickedness. But God is not like that. But you can be changed, transformed, you see, and brought to that place of hating wickedness, especially your own. By the grace of God, not by the law. The law brings you to no sin. As the apostle says, if it had not been for the law, he would not have known what sin was. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, dear friends, do you hate your sin? Do you hate sin like God? And at all times, of course, the positive side of the commandment is, at all times, and I mean all times, night and day, every moment of your life, loving righteousness. But isn't it the truth, friends? We do the opposite in our sinful condition, in that godless state and condition in which we come into the world, in our natural state and condition. Conceived and born in sin, we hate righteousness. There was only one righteous man that ever walked the face of this earth. And what did you do to him? What was your verdict when God asked the question, here's my son, what will you do with him? With one voice, you lifted up your voices and you cried out, crucify him, kill him. We hate him, the righteous man. We hate him. You hate righteousness.
Have a good day.
Anyone you find in your society who has any measure of righteousness at all, you hate and you persecute, you hound and you harass. And nowadays in your British society, you have them arrested and you have them taken to jail. That's your natural state and condition. You know, I don't understand it. You know? But friends, I also understand and I know this. Only the grace of God can change that condition. It's a heart, it's a nature condition, and only God can change your nature. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God must work in you by my gospel. This means, you see, that God has appointed for salvation the preaching of the gospel. It's the special means that God has appointed that men and women, by the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, that they be brought to that place and that wonderful experience of knowing the salvation of God, a transformation by the grace of God, melting the heart and bringing you to not just a knowledge of your sin. Yes, sir. What do you want?
I follow you on YouTube.
Oh, there you go. What's your name?
Joshua.
Okay, and just excuse my left hand.
No,
there.
It's
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend were watching your video yesterday about your arrest.
Is that all right? Okay. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, they dropped it all. They made a mistake. Good. Well, more than a mistake, so it's in the hands of lawyers.
Good. Well, it's because there was kind of an accusation both ways, but you had to go to prison,
jail,
for a little while.
Yeah.
But then they just got to walk away, which I think is a little bit unfair.
Well, not quite, a wee bit more than that, because I was told by the police when I was told that the charges had been dropped.
Yeah.
That he was a security guard, the guy, and I was told that his employers have been informed as to they're very, very displeased with him, and the police officer said it's possible even that he might lose his job. I don't know for sure about that, but that to me would be enough, I wish him no harm. I don't wish him any harm, but we get it all the time. I've had colleagues who have been through courts 6 or 7 times, and with the same stuff, it's a freedom, it's not just, take the gospel out of it for a minute, what I mean, a freedom of speech, what I mean.
Yeah, because even if I don't agree with everything you say, support your rights.
I mean, if there's a bunch of Muslims here doing what I'm doing, I would say, they've got to carry on. Don't agree with you, but carry on.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't want to end up like North Korea or.
Or
anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Area.
Freedom's a very precious thing. Hey, Joshua, thanks for stopping by.
No,
yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Did you say you carry spare Bibles in case anyone needs
I do, yeah. You want one?
Yeah, I'd love
Yeah, sure. Oh, man. Down here somewhere. Hang on. There you go. Come on, I'm with you as well.
Thank you. Well, it was lovely meeting you.
Yeah, you too.
I'll come round, because I know you're on Fridays and stuff, but I've come round a few times, but I think we'll be at the wrong time.
Right, okay. I'm not, normally about 1 o'clock,
okay.
Yeah.
Good looking, stay safe.
Yeah, thanks very much, I'll try.
Have a good day.
You too. So as I say, friends, the good news, the gospel, it's that brings about the transformation, nothing else, not God's law. Commandments, they can't save you, they just bring you. They give it to heap the guilt on you. Maybe you would say, I got enough problems with guilt for having any more. But you need more. It needs to be heaped upon you. More and more, burdened with it. So you come to that place of crying out to God, what must I do to be saved? And the answer be given to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Salvation is the end of the law. but the law is not the means of salvation. Jesus Christ and He alone is the means of salvation. The Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, sent into the world to be the Savior of sinners. Christ Jesus, the Bible says, came into the world to save sinners. He came for that specific and that particular purpose, to save His people from their sins. It's a particular salvation. He died. He shed His blood for those whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world. It's a particular salvation. He didn't die for all men, only those given to Him of God. Are you one of those? Will you repent? Will you believe? Will you turn? Will you embrace? Will you receive the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and be saved from your lawless deeds, from your sins, your transgressions, your breach of God's all 10 commandments, and the 10th one as well, thou shalt not covet. So can anyone keep the commandments of God? Anyone keep them? Well, you might say, what about the most religious people? What about somebody maybe perhaps you know who is oh so very, very religious and very diligent about their religion? They're still lawbreakers because there's none of us. Only one ever born of a woman who kept God's law, commandments, unto perfection, and His name was Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He lived that blameless life, the spotless Lamb of God, without blemish, without sin. In a form He came as a man born, made of a virgin, made under the law, in appearance as a man, but friends, without sin. He in Him is no sin, but in every man, woman, and child born into this world, sin, transgression of the law, because of that nature. Because of that nature in you, that nature in which you were conceived and born, you must need sin. You see, it comes natural to you. It's natural for a lion to roar. It's natural for a dog to bark. Why? Because that's their natures. It's natural for man to sin because that's his nature. You do it quite naturally. You don't teach your children to lie. They just do it. You don't teach your children to rebel against you. They just do it. It's natural to them. And why the nature has to be changed. Why they have to be just as you. They have to be reborn, given new natures that love God and love their neighbor, and that delight in the commandments of God, brought by God, of course, and by His grace, to know their sin just like the apostle, to know it. But of course you can know it. You can be brought to an awareness of your wicked and sinful condition and still not be saved. The knowledge of sin doesn't bring salvation to you. And you can even hold your hands up and acknowledge your sin. It has to be repented of, thoroughly repented of. It has to be abandoned. It has to be turned from, forsaken, thoroughly and utterly. But even that's not enough. You have to come to Jesus Christ, and you have to submit wholeheartedly to Him. You have to abandon yourself to Him as your only hope. Your only hope of salvation. Your only hope of being rescued, as it were, from the full-blown consequences of your sin. Bad enough today, with the guilt and shame attached to it. Bad enough today, all the misery that it brings upon you, your lives. Oh, bad enough today with all the sickness, the breakup of family life. Ah, the poverty that your sin brings upon you. That's bad enough. But there's worse to come. There's the judgment day. There's a day when you stand before God and you give account of your misdeeds. There's a day when you stand before God and He will judge you in perfect righteousness. And a day has been appointed and the judge has been appointed. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the one who today would be your Savior, should you believe upon Him, will one day be your judge. You will stand before Him and He will judge you in perfect righteousness. The one who would love you, the one who would transform you, the one who would impart grace to you, will one day impart the penalty to you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So be assured, my friends, there is no one, not even the reborn Christian, no one, whoever keeps God's law, His commandments, perfectly in utter obedience as they ought to do. We are all of us breakers of God's law, Christians and otherwise. We're bad people. That's why we need a Savior. We're not like you. We're not good. We're not like you, you know, that go about saying you don't need a Savior. We know differently. We've come to an acknowledgement. We've come to a knowledge of our sin. That we are bad people. That's why we need a Savior. But why you need one too, in reality. Why you need to repent and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved. So that you say, well, why? Why come here to the town of Stafford and preach about God's commandment? About thou shalt not covet if the law can't save us. Why does it need to be proclaimed in the way that you're doing? Because that's the means by which you come to know your sin. By the law, it's the knowledge of sin. That's the way that you're brought to that place of wretchedness. That's the mechanism. That's the divine mechanism, if you like, you know, that shreds the self-righteousness of men and women. Bring your self-righteousness. Bring it to the law of God. Bring it to the commandments of God. And have it shredded until you're left on your knees before God without a hope in this world. Without a shred of hope. Without a shred of righteousness before Him who is utterly and absolutely holy. The thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And for a man or woman to stand before Him in that day, you must needs be found in another righteousness, not your own. Because yours is in tatters. Yours is like filthy rags, says God. You need another righteousness. You need the righteousness of the gospel. You need the righteousness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You need the righteousness of God. Only then will you hear the words of approval, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not because of anything you've done. Only the grace of God. Only faith. Only the gift of faith given to you by God. The ability to believe, you see, even that has to come from God. Knowledge of your sin comes from God. Knowledge of salvation comes from God. And the ability to believe comes from God. The ability to repent comes from God. You're shut into God unless He by His grace and favor, unless He moves upon you, breathes upon you, brings you out of your deadness and trespasses and sins, and brings you to life. Life from the dead is what you need, and there's only one person who has that ability. His name is Jesus. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also commands you today, lawbreakers, to a man, to a woman. He commands you, God Himself, Jesus Christ, He commands you to repent. He now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That is not where you come from. Afghanistan, Alaska, anywhere else in between. Friends, repentance is required of you, commanded of you. And that command to repent is a command just the same as, thou shalt not covet. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Except ye repent, says the Lord Jesus Christ, ye shall all likewise perish in your sin, that is. But whosoever believeth, believers, faith, my friends, whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, in their lawless deeds, but have everlasting life. Repent ye, commands the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand, that's why. And you cannot enter God's kingdom but by repentance and faith towards the Son of God. So Stafford, once again, Jesus, His command, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself. See, the Word of God offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You would like one, do feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, never dying souls. Sorry?
If the money is all evil, why does the church want so much money?
I'm not a church.
Oh, right, you're a street preacher.
But an answer to your question,
who's asking for money?
Hang on a minute, let's go back to your question. Yeah. Who's asking for money? My church, I'm not asking people for money.
Okay, but you're asking people now, you're shouting the abuse at people.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm telling you about your sin.
No, but people might not want to hear it.
But then,
everyone's to their own. You've got different religions and everyone's to their own, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but we live in a free country. It's not North Korea. We live in a free country, and we've got a history. Men and women shed their blood so that we could have freedom of speech in this country. And I'm not going to surrender that freedom for you or anybody else. If there was a bunch of Muslims here, if there was a bunch of atheists here doing the same thing, yeah, I would not agree with them. But I'll be quite happy with them. They've got the freedom to do that. Do you want to do some shouting? Shout! Shout! Lift up your voice, madam! You've got the freedom to do it. Lift up your voice.
Oh,
you're taking issue with me.
I'm,
madam, 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 please, hear me. I'm simply here, yeah, to speak about God's message so that people can come to an understanding, a knowledge of their sin, yeah? Stop arguing, fighting with God, lay down the weapons of their warfare, and through faith in Jesus Christ, be reconciled to God, know His love, His forgiveness, His peace and grace. Because this, believe me, this is riches that money cannot buy, that gives a man or woman peace with God. That's what I'm here for. Okay. And God bless you. Yeah? Would you take a copy of God's Word? Have a read, please. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't take money for nobody. Yeah?
That's
it. Yeah, yes. Enjoy it.